Welcome, beloved brethren, family, friends, those tuning in now and those that will tune in later. I'd like to personally welcome you. I'm Bro Juan G. Welcome to our first episode of Kingdom Talk Podcast, live, raw and uncut from the prayer closet. The Lord said humble beginnings. If, you know, we honor him in the small things, the Lord says he'll bless us in the big things. Amen. So we pray that this time will be a blessing to those that have ears to hear, those that will tune in. As with everything, those of you that, if you know, you know, you know, Brother Juan likes to open it up in prayer. So let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit in so that I can move out of the way and the Holy Spirit can have his perfect way. Amen. Blessedly, Father, we humbly come before your throne of grace in the name of Jesus to just thank you, Father God, for this time, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for this platform. Father God, we thank you for the technology that you bless us with, Father God, to be able to share the message of the gospel, to share the message of salvation to those that are in need, to those that have ears to hear, broad and far, Father God. Father, we ask that you would use my voice, Father God, for your glory, Lord. Lord, that you would carry it far, Father God, and into the hearts and the minds and the ears of many that are in need, Father God. Father God, you know my heart, you know my intent, you know my motives, Lord. You know that this is for your glory, Lord, and for the benefit of those that would allow themselves to hear your voice and to respond to it, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We come against every spirit of distraction. We come against anything that will try to distract what you're about to do in the midst of this broadcast, Father God. We ask that you would have your perfect way. I move out of the way, Holy Spirit, so that you can have your perfect way. We invite you into this situation, Lord, and we just thank you because your word declares that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. So we thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord. I thank you for every person tuning in and the lives that they represent, Father God. I pray that this will be water for some, seed for some, and that ultimately in your timing, Lord, you'll bring about the increase, Lord. That you would have your perfect way in this, Lord, that you be glorified. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, for what you've done, and what you're about to do. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, amen, amen. Let me be a little transparent and honest with you. I'm a little nervous. This is our first episode. I'm stepping out in faith in the name of Jesus. We're just going to let the Lord have his perfect way. A big reason why I was encouraged and led by the Holy Spirit to start this podcast is because the need is so great. And there's so many people out there that are struggling and they're troubled in their walk, or there's a whole number of issues. And so the podcast will be mainly, and the podcast will mainly be sharing testimony, teachings concerning the kingdom, our identity in Christ, the kingdom of God, our identity in Christ, and the love of Christ, agape love. So, along with that, will be other teachings. We'll have guest hosts that we'll invite to come in and join in on some of the episodes and share, and a lot of testimonies will be shared, because the word of the Lord says that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of the saints. There's a lot of power in testimony, because people have to know and understand that there's power in the name of Jesus, and that there's something beautiful and something powerful in the life of the believer in the moment that they have an encounter with Jesus. Amen. So my desire is to reach as many people for the glory of God, for his kingdom, so that other people can see and hear that we serve a living God, a resurrected King that can restore, that can heal, that can renew, that can bring to life those dead things, that can restore the broken things, that could take a broken, lost individual like me and turn it around and use it all for his glory. Amen. So the first episode, the title of the episode is From Prison to Purpose. I've shared my testimony a few times, but there's a lot of you out there that really don't know Brother Juan's story. Some of you have heard brief parts of it. So I'm going to share the part of my testimony that the Holy Spirit is urging me to share with you all. So I pray that those of you out there tuning in will have ears to hear and that it'll resonate in your heart and your spirit. Amen. So my journey started out November 13th, 2000. But prior to that, in my former life, BC, in my former life, I was a gang member. I was a drug dealer. I was abusive. I was angry. I was pretty messed up, pretty violent. I came up in a broken home, the product of a broken marriage, a broken relationship. A lot of abuse, a lot of bad stuff happening and that we were exposed to at a young age. And so there was always a conflict, an internal conflict within me. Because on the one side, growing up in my family, on my mother's side of the family, there was a lot of negative influence, a lot of abuse, alcoholism, drug abuse, witchcraft, a whole number of all types of bad stuff. And on my dad's side, I had an anointed woman of God, my grandmother, that was incredibly anointed, the epitome of a woman of God. That was her. And she taught us about the things of God, and we learned about God, but we never really had a relationship. And we really didn't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. So we always had faith and we always believed in God, but there was always the relationship with the Lord Jesus. That was what the main component that was missing. And as a result, I spent a lifetime seeking and desiring a better knowledge of the things of God and a relationship with God. But I really didn't know where to look and what direction to look, honestly. So because I came out of a broken home and a lot of chaos and turmoil in my life, I found a home with a bunch of individuals, younger kids my age that were also the product of broken homes. And so I found a home in the streets, and I gave my life and my loyalty and my allegiance to this gang, this group that I was a part of. It didn't draw me closer to God. It filled a void, but only momentarily. And now looking back, it's just insane the things that I subjected my life and my body, my life and you know what I subjected myself to, and just for that need to be accepted or to be a part of something. And I know that a lot of you out there can relate. I'm not bad mouthing gangs. I'm not bad mouthing gang members. This is just Brother Juan's testimony of what the Lord's done in my life. I understand that, you know, people need acceptance and they need a association, and that's okay. I'm not bad mouthing or condemning or judging anyone. This is just my testimony. In November of 2000, I found myself in jail with a prison sentence looming over my head with an undetermined amount of time. I had a 3-week-old son, and in that moment, everything that I'd never dealt with in my life was literally coming out, and I didn't really know how to handle it, and I was coming apart at the seams inside, and I was losing my marbles, honestly, and it scares me to admit it to you all, but I have to be transparent with you. I was losing my marbles, and my situation seemed hopeless. On top of the prison sentence that I was looking at, and the condition and the place that I was in, it was what was happening on in the inside, in my mind and in my heart, that was most troubling. All the abuse and all the trauma and all the emotions and all these things that I had never dealt with in my life that I just kind of bottled up and packed in, because in our culture, we're not taught to talk about our feelings. We're not taught to express these things. We're just taught to suppress them and just kind of keep it on the hush. You know what I mean? And be a man and just, you know, just suck it up and not talk about it. And so I had never really dealt with it. I just kind of pushed it to the side. And now all these things were coming to the surface, and it was too much. And there was an individual, well, actually there was a group of individuals that would pray for me. Right when they came in the unit, they would pray for me. I didn't know then that they were Christians. Honestly, I didn't even really know what a Christian was, to be honest with you. But these individuals, these men, were a group of brothers, Christians, believers, that would come together and study and pray. Even in this messed up situation, they'd come together and pray and study and feed themselves on the word of God. Glory to God. And so the unit that I was in, To add insult to injury, the unit that they put me in was a unit for ICE detainees that were being sent back to their country. So we had individuals from Poland, from Cambodia, from Asia, I mean, Southeast Asia. We had people from Europe, Africa, all throughout South America, all over the world. And so it was beautiful what God was orchestrating in this season, in this moment of my life, where it seemed that everything was hopeless. But the Lord would turn a hopeless situation and turn it around for his glory. The word of the Lord says that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes. So I always knew that God had a calling, and I always knew that I was destined for something greater. I just had no idea what it was. And it seems like I spent a lifetime trying to figure out what that was and never found it. And I found it in this unit at a really messed up, a pivotal time in my life. And in that moment, a believer, a man of God, led me to another brother in Christ, an anointed man of God, that prayed for me, and he mentioned the name of Jesus. And in that moment that his name was spoken over my life, something was beginning to change within me. I felt a sense of peace within. I felt like crying. I was in this unit with all these guys, and you know, people that knew me from the street, but also mutual gang members that knew me and that I had an association with. Here they are in the same unit, and all this craziness, and I felt like crying. And the brother that was praying for me, he said, why in the middle of the prayer, like, glory to God, how could he know this unless the Holy Spirit revealed it? He said, why are you holding back? And I said, because I don't want anybody to see me cry. You know, because we have to put this facade up, this image, you know, this tough guy image, and we can't let people see our emotions. But this brother said, you have to let the Lord work. You have to let God work. He's breaking up that hard shell around your heart, and he's giving you a heart of flesh. And it didn't really click. It didn't really altogether make sense in the moment, but it made sense later on. And so he continued on, and he prayed for me, and some things were broken off of me, and he invited me to pray and ask the Lord into my life, and I received the Lord Jesus right there in that day room, in that jail, on my way to prison. And he transformed my life. And he gave me a new name, and he gave me a new purpose, and he gave me a new identity. It didn't click right then, but it took time. But eventually, I learned how to operate and walk in my newness of life. And it's a practice that we exercise daily. Listen, don't get it twisted. Brother Juan don't have this thing together by no means. I'm not trying to con you or pull the wool over your eyes and tell you I got this all figured out. No, I don't. But one thing I do is I take up my cross and I follow him daily, and I learn to exercise what's written in his word, and I apply it to my life. And I've been doing this for 25 years now. This was in 2000, November 13 of 2000. And today we're in 2025, June 1st, 2025. Glory to God. And it's been a series of peaks and valleys. But let me get back to my testimony. So I get prayed over. It's right before lockdown. I go to my cell and I weep like a baby, and I'm able to sleep, because prior to this, I had no peace. I had no joy. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. And I walked around this unit like a crazy person, you know, with this voice in my head telling me that it was over, that my life was over. It was over. It was over. It was over. And I kept hearing this voice over and over in my head. And now I didn't hear that voice anymore. Instead, I heard voices sharing the word of God with me. They were teaching me. It was the Holy Spirit teaching me. It was angels ministering to me, like the word declares. And 3 days after I get saved, 3 days after I get saved, the same brother that prays for me, he tells me, Brother Juan, I'm going to be getting moved to another unit. Now, he was getting moved to another federal facility so he could fight his INS case. And he said, they're going to move me to another location. The Lord has spoken to me. He said, but when I leave, you're going to take over. And you're going to lead people to Christ because God has a calling on your life. He said, I noticed you when you came into unit. He said, we've been praying for you since you got here. He said, and the Lord spoke to me and he said that he's had a tremendous calling on your life. And he's been trying to get your attention for many years, but you keep running. But he also mentioned that the Lord had a calling on my life and that the enemy had been trying to take me out since I was born, since I was in my mother's womb. And those of you that know Brother Juan, you know I'm a twin. I have a twin sister. And that's true. Everything that he spoke were all facts. It was not prophet lying. It was prophesying. He was reading my mail. He was telling me my life. But he also opened up my eyes to something that I knew in my heart. And now it was manifesting in this messed up situation. Because God could turn anybody's mess into a message. Listen, this is my mess that he's turning into this message. Because I was broken. I was lost. I was a Muslim when I got saved. So 5 times a day, I turned to the east and prayed to Mecca. Imagine that. And so the Lord met me where I was at and he rescued me and he gave me again. He gave me a new name, a new purpose, and a new identity. And he put a new word in my mouth. And that word and that message is what I've been sharing for the last 25 years. And that word and that message is what I'm sharing with you all. And I'm going to continue to share with all that have ears to hear. Listen, there's hope for your hopeless situation. I can testify. And many others that will join me in this podcast will testify of that fact. Let me go a little further. So my life didn't get easier. But what the Lord did was he taught me to be an overcomer. See, because in the face of adversity, I never shrunk back. I was a fighter in the world, and now the Lord was teaching me how to fight and war in the spirit. You know what I mean? Because he knows the heart. And there's a certain kind of character that the Lord chooses. You know what I mean? There's a certain kind of character that the Lord looks for in his people. And there wasn't too much that could beat me down in life. Not brokenheartedness, not betrayal, not abuse, not loneliness, not depression, not imprisonment. None of those things. And the Lord made it, and the Lord allowed me that he allowed me to go through these things in life so that I would have a greater compassion and a greater understanding for the broken and for the lost. And so I came to a point in my life where I stopped asking the whys. Why did you allow this to happen to me? Why did you allow these people to hurt me? Why did you allow this? I didn't ask the whys anymore. Instead, I thanked the Lord for what he brought me through and where he was leading me to. And for that reason, I stretch out my hands in faith in the name of Jesus. And I ask him to use me to be a beacon of light in a dark place. That the words of my mouth will be a blessing to those that have ears to hear. And that this message would be a message of hope that to those out there that feel like their situation is hopeless. Saved and unsaved. This message isn't just for believers. This message consequently is more for the non-believer. This is for those of you out there that are on the fence and you question. Listen, I'm nothing special. But the beauty of God is that he'll use ordinary people to do extraordinary things for his kingdom. The word of the Lord says that he chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, the weak things of the world to shame the strong. You know what I mean? Because I'm nobody. In and of myself, I'm just Brother Juan. I'm just Juan. But in the kingdom of God, I'm a son. And a servant of the Most High God. And those of you out there that have chosen the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior, listen, your identity, our identity is hidden in Christ. Amen. Some of you see my content. Some of you see the message. You hear the messages. Look, the message is not going to change until my brothers and sisters out there get it. And it's resonated and it's engraved in their heart that we're not slaves to sin any longer. We're not our past failures. We're not our past sins. And the word of the Lord said that he gave some the right to be called sons and daughters of the Most High God. So our identity here on earth is ambassadors for Christ, but as sons and servants of the Most High. Amen. Back to the testimony. So it never really clicked. It never really registered what God was doing. I was just caught up in the moment being used by God and teaching people his word and leading them in prayer and laying hands on them and all types of beautiful things that God was showing me and what he has shown me over the years. I made a mess of my walk. Listen to me. I made a mess of my walk and I've done the prodigal a few times in my life. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to be completely transparent with you. That's why I'm saying I don't have this thing all figured out. I don't have it all together. But what I do have is I have the determination and the drive within me to see what's on the other side, to train my eyes forward, to take hold of what the Lord has for me. So what I feel right now, listen, in that moment when I had my encounter with Jesus, everything that I had done in my life had led up to that point, to that moment. And I knew that I couldn't go any further. I knew that there was no hope for me going about it my way, doing it my way and my strength and the direction that I was moving. So more often than not, all we have to do is change direction, change focus. And that's exactly what I did. I changed direction. I laid my hands down and I said, Lord, I can't do it, but you can. And it's been a beautiful journey because it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. And the Lord's put some beautiful people in my life. And he's allowed me to be a part of something beautiful, something great, his kingdom, his beloved family. And I met some beautiful men and women of God over the years. And as of recently, the Lord's blessed us to be a part of a body of believers. And these are beautiful people. And they're learning to operate in their identity. They're learning what agape love is. And for those of you that don't know what agape love is the love of Christ. Agape love is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 kind of love. It's that love that even in my filthy, rotten wretchedness, in my mess, and while I was rebelling with God, chasing after other religions, the Lord Jesus met me where I was at, and he restored me, and he renewed me, and he healed and restored me, and reconciled me back to the Father. But he saved me. He saved me. And his desire was to teach me, to empower me, to enable me, to use me for his glory, to teach others about the gospel, to teach others how to walk in their identity, to teach others about what the love of Christ is, to teach others about what the kingdom of God is, to testify of his love, his mercy, his power, his authority, his dominion that he gives to us, and about his spirit that dwells within us, that abides in us. That spirit that's enabled me and enables us to be more than overcomers and more than conquerors. If he could do it for me, he could do it for any one of you out there. The Lord is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't love me or he doesn't love me more than anyone else. And he doesn't love the sinner more than he loves the saint. And he doesn't love the saint more than the sinner. Because in the eyes of God, there's no distinction. All are created equal in his sight. Amen. So now I go to prison. And I'm learning to walk in my identity. The word of God is active. It's alive in me. And it, something was activated in me that was already there. But I still kept messing up. And I found myself getting in trouble while I was in prison. And I got sent to program segregation. And those of you that, you know, you've been locked up, you know, you've been down before, you know what that means. So I got sent to the grip. Some of you out there, the grip, the hole, but it's program segregation time. And it's a time of isolation where you're locked away from everyone and everything. And depending on what place you've been at, you know that the conditions can be pretty messed up. It can be pretty bad. So in this situation, I had nothing. I didn't have a sheet. I didn't have a pillow. I didn't have a book to read. I didn't have nothing. I was basically in this little concrete box and without a window. There was like a little... like a stained glass window. It was smoked, like, so you couldn't see outside, but the light could penetrate this room. But I didn't have much. Everything was stripped away from me. And I'm not a victim because I made bad choices. And bad choices, or any choice, has consequences, good or bad. So this was the result of my bad choices. This was the result of me not yielding to the spirit and still trying to be operating in the flesh. And not wanting to come to terms with my sin and operating in it. So this was a consequence of a bad choice that I made. So I'm not playing the victim. Brother Juan's not a victim by no means. So anyhow, I'm in the hole, and I was able to take a shower 2 times a week for 5 minutes. So they would come and shackle me up, you know, hands and feet. And I'm shackled up and I'm inching my way to the shower like a dog. And You know, and I'm trying to make my way to the shower so I can get clean, so I can feel some kind of normalcy and feel clean. And I'm taking a shower, and then as I make my way back to my cell, the guard takes my shackles off my wrists, and they were bringing trays of food around. And there was two steel traps in the door. There was one that was about waist level, and then there was another one at the bottom of the door that I really never noticed until that moment. And they opened up that bottom trap, and they slid in a tray of food into me. And in that moment, it just all rang home. And I said, wow, look how far I've fallen, that now they even feed me like a dog. And in that moment, I guess you could say that was like a pivotal moment and a moment of enlightenment. And I said, you know what? In my mind, I made it up in my mind that I would never put myself in a position where I could, somebody could have that much control over my life, but I would never put myself in a position behind my choices to end up in a situation like that. And glory to God, it's been 25 years. I've gone back to jail. I'm not going to say that I haven't. I've gone back to jail, but it wasn't because I committed any crimes. You know what I mean? One of it was just a commitment for child support that, you know, I had to sit out for a few months, but I'm not reoffended. I'm not going back to prison, and don't plan to go back to prison. That's not a place for any man or woman to go to unless you choose to. But that's another discussion. And again, I'm not bad mouthing my brothers and sisters out there that have committed or have made bad choices that resulted in them having to spend time in these places of incarceration. I'm not bad mouthing them. I was a prisoner, so I have a greater compassion for the prisoner, for the gang member, for the drug addict and the drug dealers and the broken, the lost, the discarded ones, the modern day lepers, because I am one, because I was one. And the Lord saved me and He restored me, and He can with you too. And so a lot of what I'm speaking right now, and honestly, I'm just being obedient to what the Holy Spirit put on my heart. My testimony is long. There's a lot to it. The Lord has done some marvelous things and some miraculous things, and miracle signs and wonders have taken place in my life and still happen to this day. But I wanted to, the Holy Spirit had me share this part of my life because I need those of you out there that are struggling to understand that our situation can look hopeless, like my situation looked hopeless. For me, I didn't think that I'd make it past 18. I didn't think that I'd make it past 21. I lived in a some pretty my living situation was messed up. My childhood was a disaster. I was a broken, messed up individual, and the Lord restored my mind. He renewed my mind, and He healed my heart, and He healed and restored my soul, and He reconciled me back to the Father. And now I have a first-hand relationship with my Father in heaven through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you can too. This is not a hustle. This is not a scam. I'm not conning you. I'm not trying to pull the wool over your eyes. I'm not running from anything. I'm not afraid of nothing. I'm not running from the mob in the street. I'm not any of those things. I was just a broken individual in need of a Savior. And He met me where I was at, and He changed my life. And He can change yours, and He can change your circumstances. He can heal and restore broken things. Those of you out there that feel like your marriages or your relationships are irreparable, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. The Lord can restore all things. He can renew all things. Nothing is impossible for an almighty God. I'm going to tell you guys something. I'm going to explain something to you. The God of old that we read about in the Bible, the miracle signs and wonders that He performed in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it wasn't just a dispensation for that time. See, God has not changed. His character hasn't changed. His nature has not changed. The anointing has not changed. His power, authority, and dominion has not changed. What's changed is our mindset. What's changed is our faith. What's changed is our focus. What's changed is what's in our heart. That's what's changed. But that's what the Lord can change. That mindset. We're not speaking churchianity here. We're not speaking about ministries. We're not speaking about the church behind four walls. We're talking about the kingdom of God, the identity in Christ, his love, agape love, his unconditional sacrificial love that he commands us to demonstrate to one another, saved and unsaved. The God that we serve is not limited. His hands are not tied. We tie and we limit God's ability in our life by our own lack of faith, our own disobedience, and our own deceitfulness. Keep it real. Keep it real, brethren. There's a lot of us out there that we try to entertain hidden sin, and we wonder why we don't have victory in our life. There's some of us out there that think that we're going to attain a holiness by our works. Look, you can't attain it by works. It's not going to happen that way. Nothing that we do can get us into heaven. Nothing that we can do is going to make us righteous or holy. It's already been done. It's all been done in Jesus. All we have to do is take a hold of it and walk in it by faith. There's nothing that we could do outside of the Lord Jesus that could make us right. He's done it all. And it's a free gift. It's a free gift for everyone. The word of the Lord says, with the heart we believe and with the mouth we confess, that whoever believes and confesses with his mouth the Lord Jesus can be saved or will be saved. Not that he can be or that he might be or that it possibly, no. He says, will be saved. Amen. Salvation is real. Healing and restoration and renewal and reconciliation is real. The question is, do you believe it? And today, whom will you serve? We can't straddle the fence. You can't straddle the fence. Either you're either all in or you're all out. There's no in between. There's no gray area. You can't fake your way into the kingdom. You can't fake your way into heaven. You can't fake your way in your walk. You might fool some people, but you're not going to fool everybody, because there's a lot of us out there that are discerned. We're discerned. And a lot of it, the word of the Lord says, you know them by their fruits. You might fool people with that fake low-hanging fruit. But the people that have discernment, those men of God, those women of God that are chosen, that are called, that are anointed, they're going to see right through it. Because you can only keep up the facade, and you can only keep it up for so long. But eventually you'll slip up and your truth and your fruit will be exposed. It's best for us to just surrender, submit, be obedient, and let God be real in your life. Let God be real in our lives. Listen. I'm not speaking at you. I'm speaking with you, because this is something that we practice. My wife and I, we practice this. You know what I mean? We pray about these things. We practice these things daily. And that's the beauty of it all. We're doing this together. We're doing this together. You know what I mean? Not that we're high-minded and we got it all figured out. No, I'm a servant. I'm a servant. I'm not about titles. I'm about a function. I'm about being used by my Father for his glory. It's nothing that I did. It's everything that he's done and everything that he's doing through me. And he can do it in your life too, because every one of you has value in the kingdom. Everyone is valued by God. The word of the Lord says that his desire is that none would perish and that all would be saved. But the reality is that a lot of people won't be saved. And that's okay. It's a free choice. Everybody's entitled to live their life how they choose and how it best suits them. But at the end of the day, if you don't get the results that you're seeking, or you don't get the results that you think or that you feel you may be entitled to, that's not nobody's fault but our own. Because of our choices, because of the choices that we make, it's all a choice. It's all a choice, brothers and sisters. It's all a choice. Sinner or saint, it's a choice. Today, who shall you choose? What shall you choose? What will you believe? What will you hold on to? What will you accept? What will you take hold of? I urge you and I encourage you to take a hold of Jesus. If you tried everything else, try Jesus. What if you have to lose? What do you have to lose? Your old life, you can go back to it. You can go back to it. It's still going to be there. Your old friends, the drugs, the alcohol, all that stuff, it's still going to be there. But why not give Jesus a try and see what he has for you instead of what we settle for? Here's another thing. I'm going to make a quick point, and then I'm going to wrap it up, because Kingdom Talk is going to keep going. We have plenty of material. We have plenty of content to share. We have plenty of testimonies to share. This is just the first episode. Hey, man, I'm just winging this thing. I don't know. I'm just letting the Holy Spirit lead me. We don't have a script. This is not pre-scripted. I didn't stay up for 2-3 days studying for this. I'm just speaking what the Lord gives me to speak, no more, no less. So some of you are going to dig it. Some of you are going to not. Some of you are going to love it. Some of you are going to hate it. That's okay. My job is to share the message. It's up to you to do with it what you choose. So again, those of you out there that have called Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, there's a death and a resurrection that takes place in that moment that you have an encounter with Jesus, just like the Apostle Paul, the 12 disciples, and every great man and woman of God that have had their encounter with God. There's a nature that's exchanged. There's an identity that's exchanged. There's something that's birthed. There's something that's laid to rest, because in order for something to be birthed, something has to die first. So the word of the Lord says that the old things have passed and the old things have become new. So what remains, what's birthed, is something new in the spirit. We are reborn children in the spirit of God. Our identity here in the earth is ambassadors, is sons and servants of the Most High God. And along with that identity comes power, authority, and dominion over the enemy. We have to learn how to walk in it. How impactful would the church, not the buildings, not these ministries, that's not church. Church is a body of believers chosen by God, saved by the Lord, empowered and filled with His Spirit, and used by God to do extraordinary things here in the earth in His name for His glory. The gifts are given so that we can empower and enable and equip other saints so that they can do the same. The Lord said, go ye forth and make disciples of all men and women. That's part of the reason that this podcast is taking place. So that in some way, maybe we're able to disciple and pour into those that are in need of a Savior, that are in need of some guidance, some structure, some agape love, maybe a little direction. That's what this is all about, is building the community, building the church, empowering and enabling other men and women so that they can do the same. So what you hear, what you receive in your heart, what God implants in your heart, and through this message, through His word, share with those that are in need of it. Don't keep it to yourself. Good news is no news if nobody tells it. So share it with everyone that has ears to hear, and duplicate and duplicate and duplicate. That's how a movement occurs. That's how change occurs. We have to step out in faith in the name of Jesus and dare to make a difference. If you want to see change, we have to be the change. If you want to make change, you have to step out in faith and dare to make the difference. Be the change that we desire. I shared a message earlier on social media about that. But this is not my message. This is the Lord's message to His people. I'm just a yielded vessel for His glory. And I'm one of many out there. I'm not the only person speaking this language. There's many out there. Seek them while it may be found. Seek the Lord while He may be found. And call upon His name. Back to our identity. Our identity is not who we were. Our identity is not our past failures. Our identity is not the gang that we used to be a part of. Our identity is not our last name, not the church, not the ministry, our family name. That's not our identity. Our identity is in Christ, because our life has been bought with a high price. Listen, it didn't cost us a thing. Our salvation, our healing, our reconciliation, our renewal, the blessings, the anointing. I think I said salvation already, but I'll say it again. Our salvation didn't cost us a thing. It was a free gift from God. It was a choice that we made, and all we had to do was take hold of it. It was free. So because it's freely given, we'll freely give. Because God freely gives it to me, I'll freely give it to you all. Amen? It's a free gift, but it's a gift from God. It's a choice that we make. Will you make that choice? Will you make that choice with me? Those of you out there that are in need of prayer, those of you out there that, you know, if you don't feel comfortable, you can DM me directly. I'm all over social media. I'm not hard to find. I'm Bro Juan G. You can find me anywhere on social media, on TikTok, on Instagram, on Facebook. You can find me. If you need prayer, I'll be happy to walk you through some prayer. If you're in need of some deliverance, my wife and I would be happy to walk you through some deliverance. My wife is a mighty woman of God, Sister Natalie. I'm blessed by God to have her. She's a blessing from God. That's another part of my testimony. We'll share that some other time. But God has blessed me in many ways, and His desire is to do the same in your life. I'm not anything special. I'm just a servant. I'm just a yielded vessel for His glory. Amen. But If there's any way that I can help, if there's any way that I can be impactful for the kingdom of God in your life, don't be ashamed or don't be too shy to stretch out and ask for help. You can direct message me. Any way that you got to get a hold of me, just get at me. I'll be more than happy. I'll be blessed and I'll be honored to be used by God that way in anybody's life. I'm a servant and I agape love you all. And those of you that know me, you know, I don't take that word lightly. I don't take that word lightly. Because in order for change to take place, we have to make the change. Send me, Lord, I'll go. My heart is for the people. My heart is for the body. Ultimately, because we love God first, but because I love everybody. The sinner and the saint. Foe and friend. Because agape love, there's no distinction. And it's nothing that I did. It's nothing that you did that to get it. It doesn't work that way. It just is. It's like grace. It's undeserved favor. It's unwarranted merit. We didn't earn it. Nothing had to be exchanged to get it. The love that the world teaches us, something has to be exchanged. Something has to be given. But this love doesn't require you to give me anything. Instead, it's a free gift from God. So freely, we give it to everyone that we're able to. That's what this podcast is all about. That's what it's all about, brethren. That's what it's all about, brother or sister or friend. Saved and unsaved. So a lot has been said. A lot of information has been exchanged. I pray that this was a blessing to those that have ears to hear. I don't know the beginning of the end of this. I honestly don't. But in faith in the name of Jesus, we're going to keep going until the Lord tells us not to. Because my desire, my wife and I's, and other brothers and sisters that are supporting us and are believing in this vision, our desire is for other men and women of God and believer and non-believer to be empowered, to be enabled and set free, delivered, and to walk in their newness of life, in their identity in Christ, man. And to love and be loved by God first and by others, and to demonstrate that. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing when we surrender and we yield to an almighty God. It's a beautiful thing when we take hold of what He has for us instead of believing and settling for the lies. And like I said, we do this with you. Amen. Be blessed in all your ways. Be blessed in everything that you do. And for those that are lost, those that are downtrodden, those that are afflicted, those that are tormented, those that feel like their situation is hopeless, look, Brother Juan is going to tell you again, there's hope for your situation. You can't find it in drugs. You can't find it in alcohol. You can't find it in the streets. You're not going to find it in relationships. It can only be found in the Lord Jesus. And I tell you, personally, there's two kinds of people. There's those that know of the Lord and those that know the Lord. I know the Lord personally, and He knows you too. And the word of the Lord says that He knows us by name and by every hair on our head. I ain't got that many, but He knows me. Trust and believe He knows, Brother Juan, and He knows you too. And because of that, I stretch my hand out to you in the name of Jesus. I don't have to know you. Jesus knows you, and that's enough for us. So again, Brother Juan, agape loves you all. But before I close, I'm going to pray us out in the name of Jesus. Blessedly, Father, who art in heaven, we humbly come before your throne of grace to thank you, Father God. To thank you for this time that you allowed us, Father God. This time that you've ordained. This time that you set apart, Father God, for this episode of this podcast. I pray, Father God, that you bless the words of my mouth, Father God. and that those words will fall on the hearts and the ears and the minds of many, Father God, saved and unsaved. And that ultimately, Lord, you bring the increase in your timing, Lord. I'll just scatter the seed and water the seed, and you bring the increase in your timing, Lord. I pray that you will bless the lives of those individuals tuning in now and later, Lord, and the families that they represent, Father God. I speak healing, wholeness, restoration, renewal, and reconciliation for all that hear this prayer, Father God. Father God, I pray that they will take hold of it and that they will run to you, Lord Jesus, and they will desire a greater relationship with you, Lord. That they would experience a greater measure of your love, Lord, and your peace and your joy that only you can give, Lord. I ask that you will bless every person, Father God, with their needs, spoken and unspoken, that you'll meet those needs. And those that don't know you, Lord, I pray for divine intervention. I pray for divine visitations, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them in a powerful way, Lord. I pray that this message will resonate in the hearts of many, Father God. And that through this message, Father God, others will come alongside us, Father God, and link arms, Father God, and be united in the bond of peace and move for your glory. And we just thank you, Lord. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Be blessed in all your ways, friend, brother, sister, believer, non-believer. Brother Juan Agape loves you all. Peace.